Vampire serial killer admits murdering 10 children and sucking one victim's blood. Three suspects face 85 charges in the murder of a man dismembered and put into trash bags. A Taco Bell shift leader arrested for arson after fireworks erupt in the restaurant. And divorcing Josh Duggar would be his wife Anna's last resort. All that and more today on The Dark Side.
Sometimes the human mind goes to dark places. Sometimes those dark delusions turn into a reality. A reality so shaded and gray, once all is said and done, the healthy mind is drawn into the documented retelling of these tragic events, trying to find logic, reason, and understanding where there may be none at all. This is The Dark Side of Wikipedia.
That it is. It's a Friday news roundup version of The Dark Side of Wikipedia. Happy Friday, everyone. Tony and Carol Hughes with you on today's episode. And if you like our program, consider supporting us. Patreon.com/Dark Side of Wikipedia. Get our advanced episodes, final chapters, and more. More interesting stuff in our fine world that we live in as the world turns here.
These stories are always so effed up. You know, you read some of them, like throughout the week, I'll come across stories and I always send them to you. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I feel like I am really living a great life. Like,
yes.
When you compare yourself to these people, I'm like, where did they go so off the track? Mm-hmm. Some of them I can relate to. I think this Taco Bell one is something I can relate to.
More than the vampire?
Yeah. Even though I dated Warlock once, but at least that's, he wasn't a vampire.
True
he
story.
Had that going for him.
True story.
Sad but true.
This is where we like, if I knew that, like, just go to episode this of this show and you can hear the full story. Because I think we talked about it.
I don't know that we've ever done the full story on Me and the Warlock, but there is definitely parts of it in there. Because the whole thing is just too weird.
That'll be a Halloween special on Real Ghost Stories Online.
You just get wrapped up, you know?
I know.
He was cute.
He was a warlock, but he was cute.
You know, it's the funny thing is when you're 18, you have no standards. It's like, he's got a job. I mean, okay, so he's a warlock. What? I can work around that.
What were you doing at the time? What was your job?
I just moved to a new town and I just got a job working in a nursing home as the housekeeper.
What happens when you take a nursing home housekeeper and mix her with a wacky warlock? We'll find out this Wednesday on an all-new Wacky Warlock Hookup, right after an all-new Home Improvement on ABC.
Sorry, now I can't quit laughing. Oh, it's already gone off the tracks. Gosh darn it.
A wacky warlock. Sorry, Debbie. Well, let's jump into something happy, like the vampire child killer, and see what crazy shit this person did. This comes to us from The Sun. A vampire child killer has confessed to murdering 10 youngsters and sucking his victim's blood in a 5-year spree, Kenyan media say. Manstein Milmo Wanja, 20, was arrested on Wednesday following the discovery of two bodies found dumped near the Capitol. Officers tracked him down and said Wanja will be held and charged with multiple counts of murder after he confessed to 10 killings and sucking the blood from at least one of his victims. His shock confessions made front page string of newspapers in the country on Thursday. Wanja was detained after two bodies identified as Junior Makushu, 12, and Charles Opindo, 13, were found in Kabati, Capital News reported. He is reportedly assisting police to recover his victims' bodies and has been linked to several other disappearances in recent months, though police say it is not yet clear what his motive was. Officers say they're trying to establish if Wanja had accomplices or if he was working alone, adding that he led detectives to the site of several of the murders on Wednesday while officers took photos and videos as evidence. Many of the sites were thick bushes near maize plantations, but Wanja also dumped his victim's body in open sewage pipes, it is reported. Police said Wanja had tried to ransom the children, demanding between 200 to 330 lira, I believe, from their parents in exchange for their freedom. Reports said McCoy's mother, Festila Weku, has asked for 330 in exchange for her son, but was unable to raise the money. While Opondo's father was asked for 200 after his son was kidnapped from Sargent Primary School. Wanja's five-year killing spree started when he was just 16, local media reported. He allegedly kidnapped one boy at the age of 12, one girl at the age of 12, sucked her blood, leaving her for dead. Wanja is believed to have struck again 3 years later in another area. The young boy's death led to violent protests in the town, which residents torched a house they believe belonged to the suspect. Several bodies of his alleged victims are yet to be discovered after they're being dumped in sewage lines. Wanjley's grisly confession led several Kenyan newspapers on Thursday morning. Well, that's what you don't want to see on the headlines of the morning newspaper. You're sitting down for your cup of coffee, and it's that vampire boy from down the road.
And what about the whole, like, how horrific is that?
Yeah.
You kidnap someone's child, and then you want money, and then...
you drink their blood.
Oh, my God. I can't even. I just can't even wrap my brain around that. And the fact that, like, I want this money, or I'm going to do this horrific thing. Oh, well. How would, like, to put that on anybody is, like, that's the worst kind of torture you could do to anyone. I can't even think of anything really worse than that.
No.
We've got your child. Oh, sorry, you couldn't come up with the money. And chances are, because this was Kenya or somewhere.
Yeah.
Chances are these people don't have a lot of money anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's just sick.
It's, yeah. I mean, the just reading the headline and reading, like, the first, you know, piece of the story, I was just kind of shaking my head, like, going, this is a real news story. This is a real news story. I'm reading about a vampire who's killed 10 children and is drinking their blood. And this is not like some piece for, like, a, I don't know, a dark show or video game or something. It's this is news. This is the world we live in.
Yeah, it seems like it's some weird Silence of the Lambs kind of thing, even though I think that's based on a true story. Come to think of it.
You know, I found out Scream was based on a true story, too.
Really?
Or very roughly, somewhat roughly based. I mean, it was actually when I saw that on Investigation, or not on, on Paramount, on something on the Smithsonian channel. And it was something about, like, horror movies and what they're based on. And yeah, Scream actually was based on a series of murders, I believe, in Tampa, Florida. And the guy did a lot of very similar type things that they kind of copied in the movie.
Just creepy.
Yeah. I know about the mask, but, you know, I actually had the Scream mask before it became, like, the Scream mask.
Because you were that person?
No, actually, I had it on. I remember, this is a fun side story to take us off the rails. I put the mask on. It glowed in the dark. And I went downstairs. I was probably, I don't know, 9, 10. And I thought, oh, I'm going to scare my dad. Turned off the lights and put the mask on. Well, I frightened the cat quite well. Because before I knew it, I had cat teeth attached to my ass. And I remember, like, swinging myself, and the cat held on.
What a great cat. The cat's like, I don't think so.
And then that cat was in a tizzy for the next quite some time. And we turned the light on. They're like, what's happening? And there's a cat that, like, just lodged itself in my ass. And then,
no, it's me. It's me. No, it's not.
And it's growls, like, doing that, like, going crazy and ready to go at me again. And I remember, like, my mom, like, holding the cat down. Cat trauma. It's true. The most traumatic moments of my
childhood.
The most traumatic moments of my childhood involved that cat. It hated me.
I'm proud of it.
Yeah. like an airplane flew low over the house once and made a really loud noise. The cat looks at me and thinks I did it. And then it goes into its little like attack mode and it starts going out.
You judge me.
The cat totally judged me all the time. Remember when that happened, my mom's like, go in your room and lock the door. And I did. And then the cat's down there in the kitchen with them. And my mom ends up on the kitchen table, on the dining room table. And the cat's like jumping up at her like a fucking tremor. All she needed was to like have a shotgun and she could take it out like Reba on the Tremors, you know?
Go in your room and lock the door.
In case the cat's gonna pick the lock or something.
Save yourself. I'm getting on the counter.
But Mama doesn't have opposable thumbs. Get in your room, lock the door, son.
Mom, jumping on the counter is a bad idea. It can still get to you.
The cat, I just kept batting the cat off the cat because it kept going up. It was like whack-a-mole.
Oh, that made me laugh really hard.
And despite all of that, we never got rid of that cat, ever. It kept doing shit like that, and it's like, she's a good cat. She's a good cat. Murphy was her name.
She'd have her moments until she would attack.
Oh, my God. We had that cat till I graduated and left. And then I discovered I had a cat allergy. And all those years of sneezing in the house, it wasn't mold. It wasn't pollen. It was the fucking cat.
If he had gone in your room and locked the door more, you wouldn't have
had this. You're right. I really, you know, that would have solved the problem. Thank God the cat didn't like me. And it's probably why I survived so long, because I did stay in my room so much. And I probably didn't notice it that much because the cat barely went in my room. Oh, the revelations that we make here on this program. Let's go to our next story.
I hope it's a good one.
Drake Bell's victim calls him a monster in court during his sentencing. A woman who was victimized by Drake Bell when she was 15 years old gave powerful testimony as the former Nickelodeon star and singer was sentenced today. Jared Drake Bell, 34, pled guilty last month to charges of endangering a child during a 2017 incident involving a woman, now 19. On Monday, a judge sentenced him to 1 year in prison on the attempted child endangering charge and 6 months of disseminating matter harmful to juveniles. WJW in Cleveland reports the sentences will run concurrently. Now, before he was sentenced on Monday, the teen victim spoke via Zoom, saying, "He was a hero to me," a survivor who said it was okay for her to face to be shown in court testified, "I would have done anything for him." She said that she met Bell through her aunt when she was 12 and was one of his biggest fans. "He was such a big part of my childhood, and in turn, he ruined my life," she said, calling Bell a monster and a danger to children. The survivor said the messages became blatantly sexual when she turned 15. That same year, she claimed that Bell engaged in sexual acts with her at a Cleveland concert. He has not been convicted of any sexual crimes. "I deserve better than to be used for his sick desires," she said. "Jared Drake Bell is a pedophile, and that is his legacy." The teen filed a police report in Canada, where she lived in 2018. Cleveland police later lost the investigation into the allegations. She also alleged that Bell sexually assaulted her in Illinois in the backseat of a car while her aunt was driving. She said that police in Illinois told her that they'd only charge him if he wasn't charged with crimes in Ohio. Bell's attorney claimed he didn't realize how young the teen was at the time. Furthermore, they claimed that the victim didn't claim misconduct until she learned about Bell's fiance. Through his lawyers, Bell denied any of the allegations brought forth through the survivor's testimony. Today's plea and sentence reflect conduct in which Mr. Bell did accept responsibility. His lawyers, Ian Frieden and Maiden Grant, said in a statement provided to Oxygen.com on Monday, the victim's allegations that they went beyond that which all parties agreed not only lack supporting evidence, but are contradicted by the facts learned through evidence investigation. As the court made clear, this plea was not about sexual misconduct or sexual relations with any person, let alone a minor. Sexual registration was not imposed, as Mr. Bell did not plead guilty to any such offense. Drake and his family are relieved and grateful to have this matter behind them. He looks forward to once again performing for all his supportive fans around the world. Bell himself spoke in court on Monday morning, stating, "My conduct was wrong. I'm sorry the victim was harmed in any way, but that was not my intention. I want to apologize to her." Bell starred in Nickelodeon's Drake and Josh, which ran from 2004 to 2007. Following the show's conclusion, Bell has continued acting and voiceover work and has released several albums. His ex-girlfriend Melissa Langford accused him last year of being verbally and physically abusive during the relationship. He denied the claims. Last month, following Bell's guilty plea, he announced that he is married to Janet von Schmeling and is a father. In response to various rumors that are incorrect, "I have been married for almost 3 years, and we are blessed to be the parents of a wonderful son," Bell tweeted. "Thank you very much to all my fans around the world for your good wishes." There you go. Are you a big watcher of Drake and Josh?
I never heard of guy before. But I don't, like, the whole thing doesn't make sense to me.
What doesn't make sense?
Like, so I get what she's saying, but his defense doesn't seem to really make a lot of sense to me.
No.
Like, "I'm really sorry for what I did," which was really nothing. And
like, AJ, nothing but a thing.
Yeah. I mean, nothing. It just doesn't make any sense. And she was fine with it till she found out I was engaged, but now I've been married for 3 years. Like, what?
Huh?
I just don't get that.
Yeah. It seems a little disjointed.
And it seems to me there's communications. You know, you don't communicate with any person under 30 without there's a trail of text messages or Facebook messages or Instagram messages. You know, that's how everyone communicates.
Yeah.
So there has to be some kind of, because what was he found guilty of or pled guilty to?
That I don't have in front of me anymore.
It doesn't really say, does it?
It doesn't, no. I mean, that's what was confusing. It was like he didn't plead guilty to...
I met her at one of my concerts, and what, just out of the goodness of your heart, you stayed in touch with this young girl?
So, yeah. So she met her at like 12 or something, and he's 30-something now, correct?
Yeah.
So at the time, he would have been at least in his like mid-20s or somewhere around there. And I mean, fuck, even if you're like a teenager, like a older teenager, there's no way in hell you like, why? Why would you even be interested in a fucking 12-year-old?
And it kind of reminds me of the whole R. Kelly thing in that way that, like, to her, he's like incredibly famous. Like, you know, girls that age have these super, I had crushes on guys when I was that age, you know, like, and it's like all consuming when you're that age. And even the aunt, you know, she'd be like, "Oh my God, I can't believe he's in the back seat of my car." Like, and why is he in the, or I'm assuming he was in the back seat of the car. Like, why?
Well, and then the argument seems to be like, well, it was consensual. We were all in agreement all around. Yeah, the thing is, she's a young girl who's infatuated with you. She would do anything you told her to do right now. So that, but again, she's 12 or 14 or whatever.
Like the R. Kelly shit that got so weird is that, you know, these families kind of were all starstruck as well.
Everybody in these situations is. And it's like, at the end, it's like, we didn't think it because of this. Like, bullshit. You thought.
No, I don't. If full disclosure, I would not be starstruck by this guy because I have no idea who he is.
Oh, sure.
But, you know, in that circle.
Yeah, I'm just talking like the R. Kelly, those type, the families type things where it's like, we weren't starstruck. Like, okay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. No, they very much were. Yeah. And I get why somebody would be.
Sure.
It's like, oh my God, like, Drake Bell took an interest in my niece know where her parents were.
Yeah, I mean, you made a mistake, own it, and just be like, look, made some bad decisions.
Was it a mistake or was it like criminal?
Yeah.
Because it kind of bothers me the way, you know, I don't know, obviously, but I wouldn't trust him.
Fuck no. I mean, I think that you hear some of the excuses sometimes where it's like, well, you know, we couldn't get close to her because she was in the studio and they wouldn't let us in. I'm sorry. She's your daughter. If there's someone is taking my 14-year-old daughter and not letting me get close to her and I'm insisting I want to, guess who's going to get a fucking phone call? Like, there'll be police showing up pretty fucking soon to let me get closer to my daughter. I don't fucking care who you are. And you're like, you're not just going to fucking cart her away into some other place for a couple days and we're all going to be okay with it. Fuck you. Yeah, I mean.
No, I totally agree. And so that's why this whole thing, like, it has this kind of element of it's not right.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what happened, but it feels really
it's shady.
Bad.
Yeah. I think it's probably just the beginning of. I mean, people who, I don't know. I mean, it's people like this, you tend to, you get one story that comes out and kind of gets going, you know, this is, you know, just my opinion, but usually then like, oh, and now there's more coming out and there's another one and another, like, what the fuck? I don't know. It seems to be like a compulsion on some of these people. I don't know if it is with this guy. I have no idea, but who knows? Here's fun. Taco Bell, shift leader arrested for arson. After fireworks fire in a restaurant. Okay, this is from True Crime Daily. The Taco Bell employee was arrested for felony arson a week after a fire at her restaurant caused more than $30,000 in damage. The Nashville Fire Department responded to a fire inside a Taco Bell restaurant in the 5,500 block of Nolensville Pike on Monday, July 5th. Employees accidentally locked themselves out of the restaurant as the fire burned inside, at which point they called 911. Firefighters arrived at the restaurant, forced entry, and extinguished the fire, according to the Nashville Fire Department. On July 8th, Taco Bell management contacted the Nashville Fire Department to further investigate the fire at the Taco Bell. Surveillance video at the restaurant reportedly shows employees locking the doors to the restaurant. Video then shows employee running around on the inside of the store with fireworks in their hands. The store video reportedly shows employees entering the men's room out of the view of the camera and later putting something in a trash can near the door in the dining room. Employees then went outside and recorded the trash can with their cell phones before they realized they locked themselves out. The fire damaged the inside of the restaurant, and investigators said fireworks apparently ignited in the men's restroom also caused damage. Building damages were estimated at more than $30,000, the department said. Courtney Mays, 25, was arrested on Monday, July 12th, and charged with felony aggravated arson. Mays was a shift leader at the time of the fire. According to Nashville FD, she was released early Thursday on $5,000 bond. More arrests were expected, the Nashville Fire Department said Monday.
Okay, so full disclosure, like, this is something I could have seen me doing back in the day. It's not anything I would do now, but I was working at a fast food taco place.
Mm-hmm.
And we would do all kinds of shit there. And we never lit fireworks or anything like that. But we did a lot of things.
Yeah.
I mean, and we never served, like, I also didn't, like, mess with people's food. But I could have seen that being really, like, oh, my God, this is going to be so funny.
But wouldn't you have had the sense to do it, like, outside of the restaurant, not in the dining room?
I don't know. To be honest. Maybe, but if we got wrapped up in the moment, in full disclosure, we were also people who would go outside and smoke weed when no one was in the restaurant.
Well, that's understandable, but lighting the fireworks in the dining room, I don't know. I mean, I mean,
I'm just saying our judgment probably would have been messed up.
Oh, from the weed? Yeah.
It just, some of that shit seems funnier than, like, this will be funny.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I could totally see me doing that. Not, like I said, not now. Oh, one time, this is kind of funny. Speaking of fireworks and ex-boyfriends, it wasn't
speaking
a warlock.
Fireworks and ex-boyfriends.
I dated this guy once and it was really funny. I mean, it wasn't at the time.
Yeah.
Because when you don't expect fireworks, it's never, like, good. But I got up in the middle of the night, like probably 4 or 5 in the morning. It's completely dark. And I go to the bathroom and his bathroom door was busted. So the bottom panel was out. And I'm going to the bathroom and he lit off bottle rockets.
Oh, God.
So I'm like going to the bathroom and all of a sudden I heard the sound first. It was like,
yeah,
and it was really loud. And then it's like pop, 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 pop. It just like he did a whole handful. I don't, I'm like, wish he to wake up and go, this will be funny. Like who does that? I don't know. I mean, with the people I hung out with, I could see me doing that. But, you know, I do want to reinforce it's a really bad idea.
Don't light off fireworks in the Taco Bell.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
You're going to lose your job and be charged with arson.
They couldn't remember not to lock themselves out of the fucking Taco Bell. Do you think
they were smoking weed outside? That's what they were doing. And that's how come they forgot to, like, oh, shit, we just locked ourselves out. They've got a story for future podcasts down the road.
These are the things I don't want to think about, like when I order food at fast food places, because it's like,
I'm not saying that they do it. All I'm saying, I'm sure Taco Bell employees are really awesome, but as my little Taco blank employee, because I'm not going to say, because there's still a couple of them around.
You did it at a taco place, but
it was fast food.
Yep.
And I mean, this is the kind of quality employees they had. By 17, I was an assistant manager.
So. You can put that on your resume. Probably still do. You probably still got it.
I do. I talk about it frequently.
What sort of strengths do you bring to the job? Well, when I was 17, I was a manager at this taco place.
Assistant manager.
Let me tell you about the lessons I learned there. All right, let's jump into our always fun weekly segment where we take a look at Josh Duggar's life. This article we're finding through Fox News Channel. Josh Duggar's wife, Anna, is going to continue standing by his side amid his upcoming child pornography trial, a family friend reveals. The disgraced former 19 Kids and Counting star was indicted on federal charges in Arkansas in April and has since pled not guilty to one count of receipt of child pornography and one count of possession of child pornography. He's currently living with third-party custodians at a home away from his wife Anna and their 6 kids per a court order. While several have speculated if Josh and Anna's 12-year marriage can survive his latest scandal, a source close to the family tells Fox News that Anna Duggar is a strong wife who is holding on to her faith. Divorce is never going to be a first option for Anna, the family friend told Fox News this week. It's going to be a last resort. Okay, just pausing for a moment.
Shit.
We're past first strike, Anna. This isn't like, you know, the first time you had to think about that. So maybe it's time to pull the fucking plug.
Well, and to me, there are things that are deal breakers. Like now, okay, let's be honest. I wouldn't date a warlock, but you have deal breakers in a relationship. Like, you know, you want him to be employed or you want certain benchmarks to be met. Like, really?
You know what I'm looking at? Child pornography? Is that a high one? Is that one?
Yeah, and like, okay. You've already admitted to sexually assaulting people when you were young, but you went and did whatever kind of therapy you supposedly did.
But hey, you know what? Here's the solution to it all. The source revealed that it's in Anna's nature as a worshiper of God to stand by her husband in his trying times. Anna, who married Josh in 2008, is currently pregnant with their 7th child. So, of course, you can, as long as you can do the craziest, most horrible shit, if you're a worshiper of God, you better stay with that asshole. What the fuck is that?
That makes no sense to me.
I think God would be like, use your fucking brain. I gave it to you. Use your fucking brain. God swears, by the way. Sometimes he's just got to get his point across, because I guess this whole thing of like realizing that her husband did things with his sisters and friends when they were children and apologized wasn't a good enough sign to you, Anna, to say bye-bye. So now I'm God and I have to fucking swear at you. Jesus Christ, use your fucking brain. He's talking about his son in there, too.
Well, here's the other thing that I would think. She, like, they have talked to her. Like, she has to know what these allegations are more than what you and I know. Yeah. You know,
of
it's
course.
Like, I mean, she, you can't just hide yourself from this stuff. Like, you have to face it and deal with it.
That is the kind of wife she is and the kind of person she is and the kind of family that they are. What does that mean? The kind of family they are, the ones that they just accept someone that's into diddling with kids into their home of children? That doesn't seem like what God wanted or intended. She and his family are going to stick by him no matter what. They obviously won't agree with some of the things he's done in the past and don't know what's happening with what's going on right now, but they're always going to love him and stand by him and want the best for him and want him want him to do things right. They're never going to be different than that. Still, the family insider noted that this isn't the 33-year-old's first scandal. In 2015, TLC Network pulled the plug on the family's reality show 19 Kids and Counting from the network following revelations that he molested four of his sisters and a babysitter in the early 2000s. Josh's parents said he confessed to the fondling and at the time apologized. Later that year, it was reported that Duggar owned an account at Ashley Madison, a website meant for facilitating external affairs. With everything going on, there's a lot of healing that needs to be done with him, with Anna, and with the family. In the past, that was really and truly a family thing that was only put where it was because of who they were, because of Jim, Bob, and Michelle wanting to do things the right way, the source added. Like Josh, Anna grew up a conservative religious household with several siblings. A family source said Anna's decision to not divorce Josh up until this point lies not with how she was raised, but because of her relationship with God. It's not just how she was raised. It's what she was taught in her relationship with God. She's an amazing young woman, wife and mom. I just wish it would all be over, the friend added. It's what's going on, but again, all I can do is pray and hope for the best. And that's, the source said. Last month, Josh was granted a stay at his looming trial on child pornography charges. As the matter was officially rescheduled by a judge, the trial was moved from its previously scheduled date of July 6, 2021, to November 30th of 2021. So, there you go.
It just makes no sense to me.
No.
Like, your number one, I would think what God would want, your number one thing should be to protect your children at all costs. That's it.
You have a pretty perverse view of God if you think God wants you to stick with a child molester.
Right?
Like,
and so, you know, and with what this guy's accused of, I wouldn't trust him with my kids.
Fuck no.
You know, I would do whatever it took.
This is a case where it'd be really open and shut. It would be so, this would be a super easy one to go to an attorney and get the order, and he would never have contact with those children again. It would not be a far stretch on this one. People have lost it for far less. It's just amazing. But the thing, but it would be her choice. She would have to do it. She'd have to stand up and say, this is what I think is would be best to protect my children. But she's not. I mean, she's doing what she will best protect her relationship with God, or what she thinks her relationship with God is, not her children, but this fallacy idea of God wanting her to be married to the child molester. That's how on earth your religion gets you to that point is beyond me. I grew up Christian. I practice it. I don't see any fucking place in there where that is where that makes any sense.
No.
And other than,
but I do think that, because when they say she's a strong woman, I don't think she is.
No, I think she's extremely weak if she's not doing anything.
You know, being a strong woman would be facing it and standing up to it.
Yeah.
Now, maybe she, I don't know, maybe you're like, well, that from what I've seen, I don't totally believe it for whatever reason, but I would, I don't think I would be like, oh, I'm going to stand by him. I'd be like, well, I'll wait and see what happens in court.
Yeah.
Or something. I don't know.
There's just, I mean, it's like, okay, strike three, kids. I mean, it really is like public ones, from the admission about doing things with his sisters to Ashley Madison. And now this, like, okay, we clearly, you have a problem.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know. I'm just, I'm baffled by this family, this cult of a family. I mean, that's really what it is. I mean, it, you know, cults will take whatever religion they're practicing and they will twist it around and make things a certain way. And that's exactly how they're sitting here. And that's how they can keep coming back with these comebacks. If she's doing what's right for her relationship with God, that's not Christianity. And that's what I know they claim to be or whatever. It's like, that's not anywhere in there. That's nowhere near. That's a very valid reason to get the fuck out. So I don't know what the hell you all are doing over there in your cult, but that ain't part of what the rest of the people are playing.
No.
I think if they want to survive this thing, they need to call him out and not be sticking by him. If they want to continue their speaking engagements and all the other shit, they're going to need to make money for the rest of their lives. It's time to cut the ties with him and then look triumphant in how you had to make the most difficult decision in your life, but you forgave him, but you couldn't reconcile with it, and that's why he's not a part of your family anymore. Something
and
like that.
I would, first thing I would do is like put a big old freaking mile wide sort of distance between me and him and be like, you know what? With these accusations, I need to know for a fact you're not guilty.
Yeah.
And so I just don't get how you with children would be like, I'm going to stand by him.
I don't know.
No. Like, even if he didn't do anything to your own children, that child pornography stuff is so sick and twisted.
Yeah.
Like, it's so disgusting isn't even enough of a word for it.
I know.
And what they've said, like, this is the dark of the dark web shit.
No, and they normally don't do that. There was something at the beginning where they were like, this is some of like the most disturbing things we've seen or something of that nature. It was like, wow, that's quite a statement.
Right? And these people see some shit.
Yeah, they do. So.
Which is really sad. So the whole thing just really bothers me. And it's like, you know, if you think this is some victimless crime because he's looking at pictures, it is not.
No.
And I, once again, he's not been proven guilty, but just from what they've said to the public is very disturbing.
It is. And it's all allegations, all alleged, blah, 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 blah. But yeah. Another fine week for the Duggars. I'm just waiting to like run into them at a store.
Awkward.
Like, oh, hi. Can I ask you a few questions? Let's sit on the beanbags right over here. This may take a little while.
You want to be on my show?
Yeah. What's your show about? It's a conservative Christian talk. And we're going to come in. You're just going to sit down and we're going to have a great conversation about our Lord and Savior.
And your son. We talk about him all the time.
And your son. And what a fucked up fucktard he is. I don't know. That would be interesting. Kind of like Borat it, you know, where it's like, or Ali G. It's all a surprise. That'd be great. That'd be a great one for him to try and get into that family and do an interview. All right.
Terrifying.
That's going to wrap up today's episode of the Dark Side of Wikipedia. If you like our program, keep us on the air. Become a Dark Sider. Patreon.com/Dark Side of Wikipedia. Go to my website, darksideofwiki.com, and click Become a Dark Sider. Place to do that there as well. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. We greatly appreciate that as well. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Dark Side of Wikipedia.